Shall we pray? Father, give me the spirit of wisdom and revelation that I might know you. Lord, open the eyes of my heart that I might know the hope to which you have called me. Teach me, O God, to walk in that hope. For in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Go back to scripture that we've been learning. Today, along with that, John chapter 4, the cripple. At chapter 5, we'll read now till verse 14, till 15. We looked part of it yesterday, last Sunday. After this time, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water, and then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is Sabbath. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk?'" The one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. Amen? Sunday school, there was a question children had to answer. Why did Jesus take Jews from Egypt into the desert? And one little one said, because there was no water there, he took Jews. Because we keep hearing the word Jews and Jews again. But do you remember last Sunday's message? Did you take Jesus at his word? Ask yourself, are you taking Jesus at his word? Last Sunday's message was around the rich man, the rich ruler, whose son was ill, and this man who was a cripple for 38 years. Jesus said, "Take up your bed and walk." And they took Jesus at his word. Each one of them took Jesus at his word. And the question God is asking us, did we take him at his word? And here, nod our heads, take notes, make intellectual accent to everything that is spoken and read. But the question is, did you take Jesus at his word? Did you take Jesus at his word? Because when we do not take Jesus at his word, we question his character. We question his character. Like I said last Sunday, any man's word, what he speaks, is based on who he is. It tells us who he is. And when God says something, and when we say, "Okay, you said it, but I don't believe it," we are questioning him. That's why Jesus is pleased with people. In the Bible, you will see two things he's saying. Great is your faith. Great is your faith. Or he'll say, "Oh, your little faith." But we've been taught about faith only in getting things out of God. That's not the faith I'm talking about. The book of Romans, when Paul starts on the first doctrinal text, he says, a faith that leads to obedience. He says, this is the gospel. If I'm right, it's Romans 1:3 or 4. He says, the obedience that comes from faith. If your faith hasn't led you to obedience, then your faith is dead. It's a dead faith. A dead faith doesn't take anybody any closer to God. It's a faith. Yeah, come further down. 4. Yeah, 5. have been given. Through him we have received grace and apostleship. He says, I have received an office. That office is an office of an apostle. But I cannot function in that office unless I receive grace from him. That's the power released to function in that office. Meaning if God calls you to do anything, he will also give you the power to accomplish it. You do it in his power. I have been given grace and an office apostleship for what? For obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Your faith should bring you to obedience. If your faith doesn't bring you to obedience, it is a faith that is dead. And Bible talks only about living faith. A faith that is living, that is real. That's why a church can be a very dangerous place, a very, very dangerous place, because you can sit within the four walls of a church thinking that you are saved and on the way to heaven, but your disobedience is actually taking you on the other direction, towards hell. But because we sit inside, we think we are going. While the man on the road has more hope because he knows where he is going. So when he hears the gospel, he surrenders. And we sit within the church week after week, year after year, without surrendering. Do you remember that great man of God called Sadhu Sundar Singh? Some of you have heard about him. One of the greatest men of God India has produced. In 1936, in the great state of Kerala, there is this huge convention. Every year, it is one of the most famous conventions in Asia. Tens and thousands of people come. It's called the Maraman Convention, conducted usually under the leadership of the Marthama Church. People come there in tens and thousands. And Sadhu Sundar Singh, if I am right, in 1936 or one of those years, he preached. And when he came there, he's supposed to have taken an example and told the people, you Christians in Kerala, because Kerala boasts about 2000 years of Christian history, he said, are like a stone in the water, wet all around but dry inside. Gospel hardened people. What he said was very true. What he said was very true. You need to realize there is something the Word of God does. 1 Thessalonians says the Word of God has power to work in those who believe. It doesn't stop there. That's good. If you believe, it has power to work. But if you don't believe, like the Pharaoh, the Word of God also has the power to make your heart harder and harder and harder. The Pharaoh heard the word of God being spoken by God's most powerful servant of that day. Moses came and spoke. And he did not just speak. He spoke and God attested his words with signs and wonders the world has never seen after that. Yet, he didn't obey. Did he believe? Yes, he believed. Did he obey? No, he didn't obey. Please remember, every demon in hell believes. They all believe. They all believe there's only one God and he is God. His son's name is Jesus. They believe everything but they don't obey. Believing with obedience, without obedience, doesn't take you anywhere. Okay. So that's the question we need to ask. Did we take Jesus at his word? Because when they took Jesus at his word, they were healed. And today we are going to look at only at another verse from the Bible. In the same portion, just one verse. And it's, if you come down further, it says in verse 14, later, this man didn't know who had healed him. But he sensed the authority, the power of the Holy Spirit upon the man who was speaking to him in that midst. And he says, take up your mat. And he got well, he took up his mat and he walked. But he didn't know it was Jesus. Scripture says in verse 14, afterward. What does it say? Afterwards. Where did Jesus find him? Found him in the? The question God asks you is that, you got saved, yes. You believed in me for something. But after that, were you found in his presence worshipping him? You found in his presence. You come to the temple to worship. They don't come there to hear a sermon. They go there to worship. Today we hear a sermon. They never heard a sermon. They didn't go there to the temple to hear a sermon. They went to the synagogue to hear the sermon. They went to the temple to worship. God says, did you go? Were you found worshipping? Because if you are found worshipping, Jesus will find you. You don't have to find him, he will find you. That's the difference. Afterward, Jesus found him. Who found him? Jesus found him. Many people are struggling to find Jesus. You never have to find struggle to find Jesus. You can't find Jesus. He's God. He has to find you because He's God. Now how do you find Him? He'll be found by you if you are found in the temple, if you are found worshipping. Let's look at another portion also in the Bible. That's from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 to 19. Want to look at these two instances together. We're just again talking about two individuals. Here is the cripple, 38 years. Last week I explained to you the significance of that number, 38. Why it is given there. Nothing is there recorded in the Bible as an accident. Now it happened, as he went through Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a certain village, they met him 10 men who were lepers who stood far off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourself to the priest." So it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" How many were there? 10. They were all healed. And come to verse 19. And he said, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." That's what KJV will say. The others just received a healing. He was made whole. And I'm telling you, church, we are struggling with not having the wholeness that God promises, not with healing. Healing promises healing. He promises much more than, he said, "I'll make you whole. I have come to give you life, life that is abundant, that is whole, that is inside, bubbling forth His life, that makes you whole." But we are satisfied with our signs, our wonders, our miracles, and we go around never being whole inside, complete inside. One came back and fell at his feet and glorified God, and God said, "You are made whole." Where are the others? What is that keeps us from becoming complete in God's eyes? You know what it is? It's called ingratitude. Thanklessness. And it is so much more in this age than ever before, because we are people living in free nations, democracies. In democracies, everything is a right. Nothing is a privilege. Everything is a right. My right. So we are given the Bill of Rights. The Constitution guarantees your rights. So we come to God like that. We have been taught also to go to God like that. You are a child of God. You can go and demand this from Him. Without realizing the very fact that I'm a child of God is a privilege given to me. I didn't earn it. Everything is given to me as a privilege by God. The difference between a right and a privilege. Those of you who follow news, and you will see this tremendous thing that's happening in the United States of America. An entire political spectrum is churning over there. Over one thing, a healthcare bill. Universal health coverage, which the current president wants to bring, and the people who are opposing it. But what you don't realize is the ideology behind it. Healthcare is a privilege. It's not a right. It's not a right. Your health is not in the hands of the government. You are responsible for that. When you subscribe to something saying the healthcare is the duty of the government, you become a slave. That's not the way God created man. But we don't want that. We don't want to take care of ourselves. Government take care of ourselves, which we do not realize. The more and more of your responsibilities you hand over to the government, one day the government will rule your lives. So there is this ideological struggle that is going over there between this. It's not parties, it's ideologies. And you have to look beyond ideology to see what is the ideology that drives you. Do you come in based on privilege or based on rights? A right is inalienable, it cannot be taken away. A privilege can be taken away at any time. We do not have any rights before God other than what He gives us. It can be taken away any time. Because they are all privileges. Everything God gives to us is a privilege. Unless we understand that, it's a privilege. It's an honor He has bestowed on us. Right? The DGP of Haryana, Rathore's gallantry medal has been taken back by the government, because it's not a right, it was a privilege given to him. They gave him the president's medal, but because now he's embroiled in a case in which a girl committed suicide, they took it back. Because it was not a right, it was a privilege. The problem, because we live in democracies, we come before God and we have been taught that these are our rights, then we don't get it, we go back angry, or after we get it, we don't come back and worship in gratitude. So that's what Jesus is asking. How many were healed? What about the nine? Only one has come back, and that's a Samaritan. The others are all Jews. Our privilege, oh, thank you. You should be thanking us, we gave you a privilege to heal us. Now let us go. That's the way often people believe. Pastor, we are doing you a favor by coming to church. Telling you honestly, I still feel in my heart that many of you come to this church to listen to me and not to worship the living God. That's the reason you come here. You're coming here for the wrong reason. The only reason you go to God's house is to worship Him and not to listen to a man. Idolatry begins. You go to the house of God to worship Him. No other reason. Then as you worship, God speaks to you. Otherwise, whatever you hear without worship, when you go out, it also goes back. Because you don't have to obey anyway. Because you did the man a favor. You did God a favor. And that's what God is talking about here. How do we approach? Are we grateful people? Scripture says, as they went on their way. That is what we looked last week. They were healed. Right? As a man, 10 of them went on their way. As you believed and obeyed God in some things, you were healed as you went. The problem is, so many people who have been touched by God and experienced His power and His blessings in their life never actually worship Him. And then you will see the separation taking place in the road between a multitude who continued on their way and one who came back. What is God saying? He's saying, I'm not saying that is the ratio, but He's saying that 1 out of 10 people who gets touched by me only worship me. The rest, the majority goes and they never worship me, they never come back. Because they have taken it as a right and not as a privilege. Oh, when we are in trouble, we all get into bargains with God like Jacob did. Remember Jacob running away from his father's house, and he's reached this place and he's put this stone under his pillow and he sees this grave, this thing, and he makes a bargain with God. If you bless me, I will give you this much. God must have laughed, must say, first I have to give you, then you will give me from that. Okay, that is also a bargain. What kind of a bargain are you making? But God says, okay, I take you at your word, I will bless you. I bless you. Can you remember how many bargains we made with God? You remember how many bargains we have made with God in our lives? Lord, you do this, and I will do this. When it came to our doing that, we conveniently forget, and we said, God understands. God says, I understand. I see into your heart, and you are thankless. You are ungrateful. We need to ask ourselves what kind of people we are today. Because a man got healed. He was 38 years a cripple. He got healed. He didn't even know who had healed him. So he didn't come back to him. But he knew where to go. He went to the temple. And because he went to the temple to worship and to thank God for healing him, Jesus found him. 10 lepers were healed. When we didn't have jobs, do you remember the days when we didn't have jobs? And we didn't have enough money, when we didn't have enough marks, we never thought with this mark list I will get a job. Oh, everybody's got testimonies like that. Do you remember? The problem is, church, we have started thinking that much of the things which I have today, I earned it. I earned it. God said you didn't. He said the very fact that you are alive today is because of grace, mercy. Many, He said, who went to sleep last night did not wake to see another day. His multi-billionaires have lost all their wealth in one day. One day, in 1 hour they have lost. He said, you still are taken care of because I decided so for you. And do we really think? Honestly, do we really think?
Well, that's what happens.
When we don't worship God, when we are not found back in the house of God, we run into trouble. The German philosopher wrote this wonderful statement. He said, "Christian scholarship is the church's prodigious invention to defend itself against the Bible, to ensure that we can continue to be good Christians without the Bible coming too close." You didn't get it? We study and we study and we study and we interpret the Bible in 600 different ways so that we don't have to obey it. Faith of the simple is they go to the Word, they see, okay, God wants me to do it, I will do it. I don't understand all of it, but I'm going to do it because He said so. Some of the things He says, I don't like it, but I'm going to do it because He said so. Why? Because I'm eternally grateful. I'm eternally grateful for what He has done for me. Are you? Turn to one little three verses, Romans 3, verses 23 onwards. Get it? Simple. For all have sinned. Everybody agrees? This is the word of God. Anybody here who hasn't sinned? Anybody here who hasn't sinned? Oh, everybody has sinned. Agreed with that?
Absolutely.
Verse number, next verse. The wages of sin is? What do you deserve from God? Death. And what did He do? He gave us life in His Son. He put death on His Son. Understood why we need to be eternally grateful? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us sitting here, standing here also, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But God so loved the world, He sent His only begotten Son. Why? So that He could die in my place and your place, and we could be free. All the people we read in this, and many people we meet in life, understood that and have walked with God with gratitude all their life. I'm grateful, O God. I don't care what You don't give me. I'm grateful for what You have given me. But Pastor, You don't understand. I don't understand the cross. I still haven't understood the cross. Why? Why should You die for me? Did you know that ingratitude displeases God? What did Jesus ask? Where are the other nine? How many were healed? How many has come back? Did you understand something? God is not happy there. He says, where are the other nine? When you are ungrateful for what you already have, God is not pleased. That's what scripture says in the book of Timothy. What do you need? You need a roof? Not necessary. Only when it's raining you need a roof. Otherwise roof also is not necessary. You need clothes. You need food. Anybody who doesn't have clothes, everybody needs seems to be dressed well. You all ate?
Yes.
Or will be eating? Yes. No worries about that. He says you are blessed. But the children of Israel? 40 years. Did they eat? Yes? They ate? Did they have clothes?
Yes.
Did they have shelter?
Yes.
Were they grateful?
No.
No. Gratitude displeases God. Ingratitude displeases God. Please remember, ingratitude displeases God. God is not happy with His children who complain and murmur and grumble all the time. You'll be saying, no, I'm not grumbling against God. I'm grumbling about all these people. He says it's the same. When the children of Israel grumbled, they didn't grumble at God. They grumbled at Moses. He said it's the same. Because when you grumble, you are saying, you cannot take care of me. You see, it's my right. I'm born in a democracy. You are supposed to take care of me. I pay my taxes. Did you remember first Sunday I came and put in my tithes? Didn't I come and put in my tithes on first Sunday? And why are you not taking care of? Because I pay the government tax, I pay you also tax. You're supposed to take care of me. We have said, here is my bill of rights, O God. And we are upset when things don't happen the way we want. Romans 1:21. What ingratitude leads us to? First, remember, it displeases God. And the second, you come there? Because although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Nor were they. When you are unthankful, what happens? became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts were darkened. Let me tell you something true, whether you are in the church or outside the church. If you are not grateful to what God does in your life on a day-to-day basis, you will be futile in your thinking and your thinking will get darkened. You will lose the knowledge of God in your life. Your minds get darkened. And so many people, their minds are darkened. Though they knew Jesus in 1947, their minds have been darkened because they have been walking in ingratitude. And scripture says your minds will be darkened and your thoughts will become futile. And we meditate upon those thoughts instead of declaring, oh God, what a great God you are. Just think about it. Last 7 days, Sunday to Sunday, 7 days. How many of you have listened to His word? How many of you meditated upon your word? How many of you praised Him and thanked Him? Or did you go your way like those nine did? They went their way. Because if you are thankful, you will always come back to this. You will always come back to this. And you will always thank you, God, thank you. Because you know what I am? I am a sinner. Saved by your grace. I don't deserve anything. I was on the road to hell. You stopped it. You took my sin upon yourself. You don't have to do anything for me. I thank you for that. That one thing and thing alone is enough in my life. It was a privilege you gave to me to be your son. Everything that you give is a privilege. And I thank you, God, for that. Do we? The nine lepers looked at healing as their right. The Samaritan took it as his privilege. So he came back. Because the Jews, other nine probably might have been Jews, they knew their bill of rights, the Old Testament. The Samaritan said, I was never accepted in that lot. Have you seen that adversity brings you together? Adversity has brought them together. The Samaritan and the Jews are fellowshipping today because all of them have leprosy. And leprosy in the Bible was always a sign of sin. Soon as the sin is taken care of, outwardly it is taken care of, there is a separation. The Jews separate from the Samaritans. When we are in pain, in poverty, then we know no caste, no religion, no barrier, nothing.
Absolutely.
Let things be started, be taken care of. Then we start separating. But there is some in that group who will know that all that they have received is by the grace and the mercy of God alone. They will run back to God. They will run back to God. So God is saying that if you are not thankful, you will lose the image of God. Are we losing the image of God? Because in many churches, the image of God is already lost. Because all they hear is about, it is your right to be rich. It's your right to be healthy. It's your right to be wealthy. They have taken the sovereignty of God from God by saying, quote, these scriptures, meditate upon it, it is your right. Without knowing that that is a privilege given to you by God. Therefore, when Moses said, I cannot speak, God said, who is the one who makes you to speak or the one not to hear? Who is the one who makes the blind, the deaf and the dumb? He says, it's I, me, God. I make some blind, I make some see. I'm God, I'm sovereign. But that's not what we have been taught. It's my right. The problem is that when we focus on those things, we become ungrateful when things don't work our way. Our worship stops at church. When we go back, there is no worship. There's no worship after we go back. Our worship is just connected to that half an hour. The worship leader has to keep on telling, worship brother, worship, worship brother. Then it's connected with the songs. If the songs are good, we worship. Songs are not good. I want to see people worshiping on, all to Jesus I surrender. It has to be always. Worship has to be focused on also. Here I am, I am waiting, God, where are you? I came before you, still not around, I am waiting. All the songs will lie because the tune is gone, melody is gone, the words are all about us. It's about me, O God. Haven't you listened to my conversation lately, O God? All the personal pronouns are there always, I, me, mine. I am hurting. Where are my people? Why are my people not getting blessed? Why am I losing my things? Where about him? And he is asking, your thinking has become futile. Your thoughts have become futile. Where are you? You are losing the image of God. The reason is a darkened heart leads to a darkened outlook of life. we are saved by mercy or justice?
Mercy.
Hello?
Obviously, mercy.
It's obvious, but do we really believe it? Are we saved by mercy or justice? Because the way we approach God, we always think that we are saved by justice. You see, God, you know why you saved me? Because I was good. I'm not like the other tax collector standing over there. You know what? I listened to my parents. I worked hard. You don't know how much I worked for GMAT and CAT exam. I worked so hard for CAT. Now my eyes are like a cat. I mean, you see, I worked so hard. That's why I'm in this job today. God says there were 1,000 others who worked harder than you. I gave you that job. Honestly, if you search in our heart, we will see that we think there was something good about me. That's why the reason God picked me. That's the reason why God picked me. God says, no. When you were yet sinners, Christ Jesus came and died for us. There was nothing in us. Nothing in us. Absolutely nothing in us. He says that was good. God, you don't understand what I am going through. How can I praise you when I am going through this? You don't understand. He says, you are serious when you say that I don't understand. He says, turn with me to Isaiah 52. He says, I'll tell you. Isaiah 52. Oh, what a verse. Don't get hold on to your seats when you read that verse. And believe the way it is written. Don't change it in your hand, in your mind. Isaiah 52. Verse 14. Read the way it is written. That's God's word. So talking about Jesus. Just as many were astonished at you, so his visage was marred more than any man, and his form than the sons of men. You know what? This is scripture. Do you believe this is scripture? He says Jesus was beaten in such a way that his face was changed like no man ever has been beaten in history. For your sins. By the time they had finished, you couldn't recognize whether this was a human being or a pulp. That's the way they beat him. He was marred more than any man. And the Romans knew how to beat. The Roman soldiers were mercenaries. And they were hired for one purpose, to put down rebellion anywhere. And they heard this rumor, this man is claiming to be the king of the Jews. Give him. When the Jews are not the one who whipped him, these are beaten by the Romans. And he's been marred more than any man. And his form than the sons of men. He says, are you still saying, I don't know what you're going through? Look at our complaints. Lord, you don't know what I'm going through in my house. You don't know my husband. You don't know my wife. You don't know my children. You don't know my office. He says, you think I don't know? Look at that. If you had seen Jesus on that day, we wouldn't have recognized him. That's what he was. He would have looked like something we buy from the butcher. Raw and bleeding. Why? He didn't do anything wrong. And don't stand 2,000 years back in history and say, I didn't do anything. God says, you did. For you. For you. For you. For each one of you. I sent my son upon the cross. And that's what we need to look at. And when you look at that, the cross will always bring you back to the house of God. Back to God to worship. You don't need any other reason to worship. God, if I have a promotion, I will worship. No, you don't need a promotion. You need just that. One look at that, that's enough. Lord, I will worship you, God. Why, oh God, why? He says, because that is sin. I lifted my word above the heavens. I proclaimed, the day you sin, you will die. The day you sin, you will die. And you died. But I created you in my image. I want you to bring you home. And there is no other way. I don't break my word. So somebody had to die for your sin. And he says, it was my son. Somebody had to be punished for your sin. My son was punished. Now do you look at your problems and say, Lord, because of these problems, I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like going to church today. Do you need to feel like? All you need is this. Lord, I look at that. All I want to do is not to leave your presence, O God. What a God you are. Because ingratitude will take the image of the real God from us. That's what happened to those 9 lepers who got healed. What happened? They ran after the provision and forgot the provider. One came running back to the provider and said, what did it say? He glorified God in a loud voice and fell at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, what about the others? We have no reasons to complain, church, to God or to one another. He's done everything he needs to do. Praise God, he's still doing more than that. He's still blessing us. He's still taking care of us. Do you remember Daniel? Did he have any reason to worship God? Did he have any reason to worship God? He had no reason to worship God. He's been sold as a slave. But he chose, I will worship God and I will give thanks. Oh, Daniel, did you hear the latest edict by the emperor? What? Anyone who worships any God for the next 30 days is going to be in big trouble. Capital sentence has been proclaimed. Really? Let me go home. I have to give thanks. He opened his window. He didn't close his windows. How religious pastors will give advice. After all, you want to worship, brother, shut the window and worship. Nobody has to see it. And they will quote scripture also. Jesus said, if you are praying or fasting, let nobody see. But this is a different context altogether. Everybody has to see. Because a death sentence has been, I cannot stop thanking God. It's my practice. It's become a habit. It's part of my soul. 3 times a day, I give thanks to God. And he opened his windows and he gave thanks to God. Because I don't need a reason. The very fact you, who you are, is enough. I need to worship you. I need to give you thanks. Did we? Church, did we? Did we thank God? But the problem is, our vision can change. We will lose the image of God. We lose the image of God. And I believe and I feel that people are losing the sight of God, of what he really is. Be a grateful people. Don't need any man or woman to come and tell you Sunday after Sunday, you don't need a reason to worship God. Who has stolen your song? I was telling my son today while driving on the scooter, why are you not singing? When you were small, you used to sing along with me. Now I am singing alone. As you grow older, the song is going. He's showing his hands from their mercies. When they were small, we used to sing together. Now I find increasingly I am still singing alone. Has somebody stolen your song? Do you remember the Samaritan woman? She had come to the well for a purpose. When she met the Messiah and found she was forgiven, what did she do? She left the pot there and she ran back to the town. If you had listened to her, she sang the song, not Pastor Sharon. She sang the song, come let us sing, let us rejoice. Why? Messiah has come. You know that? That's probably the song she sang. She went to the entire town and said, come, the Messiah has come, I'm free. And scripture says that people believed because of her. Because of her. They said, wow. This woman was the one who was playing hide and seek all the time. Long face, shouting, screaming, grumbling. Crumbling. But now she is coming, singing, rejoicing. Does the world around you see that way? Does the world around you say that you don't need to bring a scale or a ruler to your college? Her or his face is enough, it's long enough. Do they say that? Are we a grateful people? Because the problem is, ungratefulness leads to anger. That's a danger. And if you can't be angry with God, you will start getting angry with man. And if you can't get angry with man outwardly, then you will take that anger inward, which is called depression. Anger directed inward is called depression. So either people are angry outwardly, or they are angry inwardly simply because they have an ungrateful heart. When we were in trouble, we worshipped God. Oh, I was there, oh God, I was there. And I cried out, Lord, don't you see my situation? Lord, help me, please, Lord. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your goodness. Then we remember all his goodness. And then he rescues us. Once he rescues us and we are back on the road again, a little later our attitude changes. Do you know it's recorded in the Bible? Oh, when I was in the fish belly, the whale's belly, I cried out unto the Lord and he heard me. Jonah. Now turn to Jonah chapter 4 and read from verse 1. Suddenly you see something else there. This is a man who should be so grateful. Oh God, thank you for... I should have been dead now. Dead, buried, not in water or in a tomb, in a fish's belly. But changed the situation. Told him, now you go preach to these people. And he went to that town and he started preaching. Something happened there. What happened? The people started repenting. And when the people started repenting, Jonah was displeased and exceedingly, and he became angry. Do you get very angry when you see somebody getting blessed? Something good happens to somebody, do you get angry? Do you get upset? Jonah was very upset. Very, very upset. Very, very upset. Why? He's not grateful. His grateful is very momentary. Oh, thank God I'm out of the whale's belly. Oh, thank you, God. And our gratitude lasts only for a little while because we are out of the lion's den, out of the furnace, out of the great whale's belly. A little later, we start getting very, very angry because these people are repenting and I don't like it. Don't you receive, you yourself are a recipient of God's mercy? And you should be very happy now somebody else is going to receive mercy. No, I deserve mercy, but they don't. You see, they didn't spend 3 days in the whale's belly. I did. That's why I received mercy. You don't acknowledge the fact that he went in the whale's belly because of disobedience in the first place. Now you have taken that experience as a credit. That's how many believers do. Oh, brother, you do not know. When I was in that fire, God rescued me. Why did you go into the fire, brother? They won't tell you that. That part of the story is hidden. Now they had taken the fire and the rescue from the fire into the great testimony. They will not be able to tell you like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, I refuse to bow before any idol other than the God. Therefore I went to the fire and I said, I'm willing to die. That's not their testimony. Half the testimony is said, brother, I was in such a great difficulty and I cry out to the Lord and he saved me. It's just mercy. Just mercy. And then after that, what has happened? Why are you grumbling today? That's what the children of Israel did. Oh, you know what? Jesus, God made it very clearly. I did not save you because you were any special. You were just like any of the nations. I showed pity on you, mercy on you, and I picked you out of Egypt and I brought you in. But they thought it as their bill of rights. Why have you brought us into the desert? Wasn't there any graves enough in Egypt? What about water? What about food? Okay, food is okay for some time. But what about meat? You're tired of eating this flaky little thing, cornflakes all the day. What about meat? Like my son. No meat? Well, you ate 14 times meat this week. So what? You're not denying me meat the 15th time? How can you do that? The children of Israel also sounds like that. What about meat? And they refer back. Do you remember? They never talk about salvation. They never talk about the promised land. They never talk about... We never talk about heaven. When we get together, we never talk about waiting to see Jesus, going to heaven, oh, the test. No, you're talking about, you know what I lost last week? What trouble I had in the office last week? What people did to me? We're all talking about Egypt. All the time our conversation revolves around Egypt. The loss in Egypt, the loss in Egypt. So there is a new theology talking about how to go up in Egypt. It is no longer about going to the promised land. It is crossing the Red Sea back and going to the Pharaoh's throne and taking him off and you sit there. You go further down. Look what God says about Jonah. Verse 4. And the Lord said, is it right for you to be angry? Jonah, let me ask you a question. You of all people, is it right for you to be angry? Are you angry? Is it right for you to be angry? Do you know where you came from? How I struggled to reach, bring you to this place. I told you to go to Nineveh. You went in the opposite direction, Tarsus. From there I had to get a veil and brought you over here. You know your obedience? How obedient you were? Now some people are becoming obedient here, you are very angry. Do you have a reason to get angry? Now think about that. When we deny forgiveness to people, God says, do you know what I forgave you from? Look at that marred face visage of my son. I allowed him to be beaten into a pulp because you sinned against me. If he didn't go through that, he wouldn't be my child. And now why are you holding back, withholding a little forgiveness? Something somebody said or did or took away from you. What does it matter? Didn't I freely forgive you? Freely give you all things? Called you by name, told you are my child. Don't worry about anything. I'll take care of you. Your eternity is guaranteed. I'm building mansions for you up there. Everything I told you, just walk with me and obey. But no. No. I can't let go of all those things, God. Egypt is very important to me, you see. My degree is from Egypt. Don't you see my certificate or not? See, University of Cairo. I have it from there. Yeah. But the fact is that the way we think in the ways of Egypt. All our thinking is in the tapes. Oh, brother, I am a scholar. I studied in Ob, read all the books in the library of Alexandria. Alexandria for you is in Egypt. But all those things, God says, your thinking is futile. Your mind has become darkened. And now you are angry because you are ungrateful. And God is asking him, what are you doing? Oh, you know what he did? He made a small little hut. You read further down, you will see. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. There he made himself a shelter and sat under in the tree that he might see what would become of the city. You have to be very careful. You are not reading the lines between. He made a small little thing and sat there. He went out of the city. Which side? Oh, he is a man who knows his theology. He knows when God judges a people, the wind will blow from the east. East wind is the wind of judgment. He is not waiting for restoration, blessing or anything. He is waiting for the city to be destroyed. So he went out of the city, made his lean-to, and is waiting there from morning to evening to see whether his enemies would be consumed. East side. God is very happy, very merciful. Thank God for his mercy, saying, Jonah, when you are sitting there from morning till evening waiting for judgment, your head will become hot. So he made, what did he do? The Lord prepared a plant and made it to come over Jonah, that it might be a shade. Even when you are grumbling, even when you are complaining, even when you are walking in your bitterness, even when you are walking in anger, God has still taken care of us. He still allowed a plant to come up over our head. Isn't that true? He still took care of me. I know he still took care of me. Even when I was angry and upset, he still took care of me. He didn't abandon me or you. He's sitting there in anger and bitterness, waiting for judgment to come up and consume all my enemies. God said, okay, you sit there in your bitterness, I'll hold an umbrella over your head. Then the next day morning, what happened? But as morning dawned the next day, God, who prepared that shade, also prepared a... He won't allow you to sit in your misery forever because that would destroy you. So what will he say? He will send a worm into your life. Many people here need deworming. You need deworming, you know why? But this won't go through tablets a doctor can give you, because this is a worm in your life prepared by God. So you have to take his tablets. Modern medicine is first found in the Bible, not in the world. It says in the Bible, Moses came down from Mount Sinai holding two tablets. That is the only two tablets that can take care of this worm. Nothing else will take care of this worm. You obey God, honor him, walk in his ways, this worm will go on its own. But we don't want to obey God. I'm telling you, church, we find it very, very, very difficult to obey God. That's what Jonah had to ask. Were you saved by justice or were you saved by mercy? The simple question we need to ask ourselves every day: how am I saved? Ask yourself. I have learned and learning to acknowledge before God every day, I am saved. Even today, after 25 years of salvation, 15 years of mercy, I'm still living on mercy and not on justice. That's what scripture says, that verse. We are not consumed by his anger. He's not dealing with us according to our iniquities. He's not dealing with according to our iniquities. Do you think God is dealing with us according to our iniquities? No, he's not. He's still dealing with mercy. He says, I know. I know how you woke up this morning. I know what conversation you had with your husband, with your wife on the way. I know how you treated your children in the morning. I know it all. I'm not dealing with you accordingly. All parents sitting over there, I'm telling you honestly, fathers and mothers sitting over here, if God were to deal with you the way you dealt with your child this morning, it would be, you're making me late. You're always like that. You have taken after your father. All single moms, be careful using those words. One day when he or she grows up, they will take after the father. If God were to deal with us that way, he says, no, I don't. I forgive you. My compassion is stretched towards you. Every time you come back, I'm still waiting for you. I still love you. I still take care of you. I listen to you. But one thing I am upset with, I'm upset with your ingratitude. You are not a grateful person, he says. You are not a grateful person. And it is important, church, it is very, very important. Like I said about Daniel, he was a grateful person. Was he a grateful person? Do you remember Jesus? What's the constant word Jesus, about Jesus used? Oh, look at the crowd, my God, 5,000. Rows and rows and rows and rows of people. What do we have here? 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. He looked up and said, Father, thank you for this provision. It looks so little, but God, you gave it. It's enough. You look back and see, he gave thanks always. He didn't look at how much he had. He said, whatever you give is okay for me, Dad, because I love you. All I know is to thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Do you remember the apostles? It's there in Acts chapter 5, verse 40 to 41. Chapter 5, verse 40 to 41. Now they have been brought before the Sanhedrin, strictly commanded not to preach in the name of Jesus. And then, when they agreed with him, when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. And how did they go? And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. That's how they went. Alright? Did you see that? They got it. They were grateful. You need to be grateful. God, anything that I go through, I am grateful. I am really grateful, oh God. Because I don't deserve anything other than eternal judgment, death. Even if I get one whiplash for your name's sake, I only want to thank you. That's what Paul says. I don't want to know anything other than to share in the sufferings of Christ Jesus. They went rejoicing. They went thanking God. Wow, God, thank you. It's a privilege. It's an honor to suffer for your name's sake. Do you remember Job in the beginning? News after news is coming. Every telegram that comes is only bad news. Property gone, camels gone, sheep gone, oxen gone, now children also gone. What did he do? He went on his knees, worshipped God, and what did he say? Naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I go. Lord, I thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do you hear that? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Do we respond like that? God is saying, why is it important? We'll come to the crux of the matter. Why is it important? It is important because 9 lepers were healed. 1 was made whole. That's why it is important. It's important because one man decided to come back to the temple and worship God. He was met there by God. Psalm 50 verses 14. See that? The mighty one. No, that's what I offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. And verse 23. Whoever praise offers praise glorifies to me, and to him who orders his conduct all right, I will show the salvation of God. When you give thanks to God, God says, I will bring salvation into your situation. To him I show my salvation. So they all who thanked God experienced God's salvation. They did not complain. They didn't grumble. The ones who complained and grumbled all died. All died. But the ones who thanked and praised God in the midst of the difficulties, he said, I will show you my salvation. Did you see that? He said, I'll show you my salvation. Ephesians 5, 19 and 20. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for some things. For some things. Does it say for all things?
Yes.
Just giving thanks for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank God for all things. Whatever delays you are facing, whatever problems you are facing, whatever situations you are facing, to thank God in all things. Thank God for the spouse you have. Thank God for the spouse you don't have. Thank God for the children God has given you. Thank God for the children who have grown up and gone away, forgetting you. Praise God for them also. Thank God for everything. Many parents have this problem. The children have gone away. You have any doubts, go to Kerala. House is full. Huge mansions built, spotting from one end of the state to the other state, empty with old people alone. Children have all gone. US, UK, Germany, Middle East. No children. Once in a while they make an STD call, ISD call. All empty houses. And they do not know. Living all alone. Huge, massive houses. Well, thank God for them. God is asking, are you able to thank me in all situations? Colossians 4:2 and 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Says pray, but with thanksgiving. Take the grumbling out of your heart. Don't complain. With thanksgiving. You have problems? Pray to me. But with thanksgiving. Thank God. Thank you, Lord, for what I have. I'm not going to think about what I don't have. I'm going to thank you for what you have. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18. Suddenly you will see a different dimension to the same thing there. 16 to 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. In everything give thanks. What is the will of God for you? People calling me and say, Pastor, how do I find the will of God? This is the will of God. Give thanks in everything. This is the will of God for you, to give thanks in everything. We need to cultivate this attitude, being grateful to God. Then your song cannot be robbed. Otherwise, you'll only sing when the worship preacher shouts at you from the front. After that, your song finishes. You want to sing through the week, you need to be grateful for everything God has given you. And everything God has taken away also. Lord, I thank you. I give you the glory. I give you. What does Paul say? If you thank God, what will happen? The peace of God will guard your heart. Doesn't he say that in Philippians? Bring your prayers, your petitions with thanksgiving and the peace of God. We pray, we petition, we forget to thank. So there is no peace. When you thank God, the peace of God comes. The peace of God guards your heart. Isn't that what God is saying? I'll read a beautiful excerpt. How many of you know about Corrie ten Boom? I have spoken about her. One incredible lady. In The Hiding Place, the Dutch woman Corrie ten Boom wrote about her family's experience in the concentration camp during World War II. Though not Jews themselves, she, her father and her sister, Betsy, were sent into a series of prison camps for harboring Jews in their Netherlands home. At one point, the two sisters were sent to their third camp, Ravensbrück. And upon their arrival at the barracks, they realized that among the other horrors of the camp, the barracks was completely infested with fleas. Fleas? I cried. This is Corrie telling Betsy. Betsy, the place is swarming with them. How can we live in such a place? Show us how. It was said so matter of fact, it took me a second to realize she was praying. Betsy was praying, Lord, show me how to live in the midst of these fleas. More and more distinction between prayer and life seems to be vanishing to Betsy. Her life itself had become a prayer. Corrie, she said excitedly, he has given me the answer. Before we ask, as he always does, in the Bible this morning, where was it? Read that part again. I glanced along the long dim aisle to make sure no guard was in sight. Then drew the Bible from its pouch. Because if you had the Bible, you would be killed. It was in 1 Thessalonians, I said. Here it is. Comfort the frightened, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that none of you repay evil for evil. Always speak good to one another, to all. It seemed to be written expressly for the concentration camp. Go on, said Betsy. That wasn't all. Oh yes. To one another and to all, rejoice always, pray constantly, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. That is it, Corey, Betsy said. That is his answer. He told me this morning to give thanks for the fleas. That's what we can do. We can start right now to thank God for every single thing about this new barracks. I stared at her, then around me at the dark, foul-smelling room, such as... Well, for us being assigned here together, I bit my lip and I said, oh yes, Jesus. Such as what? For holding this Bible in your hands, I looked down and said, yes, Lord, thank you. There was no inspection when we entered here. Thank you for all the women here in this room who will meet you in these pages. Yes, said Betsy, thank you for the very crowding here. We are packed so close. Now they are packed like sardines in that barracks, and they find a reason to thank God, saying that many more people will hear your word when we speak to them. Corey, she pleaded. All right, Corey said, thank you for the jammed, crammed, stuffed, packed, suffocating crowds. Thank you, Betsy went on serenely, for the fleas and for the fleas. This was too much. Betsy, there is no way even God can make me grateful for the fleas. She said, no, it is written, give thanks in all circumstances, she quoted. It doesn't say in pleasant circumstances. Fleas are a part of this place where God has put us, assigned us. So we stood between piles of bunks and gave thanks for fleas. But this time I was sure Betsy was wrong. Who do you relate with? With Betsy or with Corey? Betsy and her seeming superhuman power to give thanks even for the fleas, or Corey who had come to the end of a rope? If I'm honest, I think my gut reaction is more like Corey's. I know Thessalonians 5, give God in all circumstances. But when things are going beyond my expectations, you think God possibly can't be expecting thanks from me. I will close by returning to the story I started with. You remember Corey Ten Boom and Sister Betsy giving thanks even for the fleas in the Nazi concentration camp? You will remember Corey saying, this time I knew she was wrong. Well, a couple of months later, something proved who was right and who was wrong. Corey writes, one evening I got back to the barracks late from gathering wood outside the walls. Snow lay on the ground and it was hard to find the sticks and twigs with which a small stove was kept going in each room. Betsy was waiting for me as always, so we could wade through the food line together. Her eyes were twinkling. You are looking extraordinarily pleased with you, I told her. You know, we have never understood why we had so much freedom in the big room. She was referring that they always had the freedom to have Bible studies, even sing hymns in the barracks together in the evenings, which nobody else had. Well, I have found out. That afternoon, she said, there had been confusion in the group about sock sizes and they asked the supervisor to come and settle it, but she wouldn't. She wouldn't step through the door and neither would the guards. And you know why? Betsy couldn't keep the triumph from her voice because of the fleas. The place is crawling with fleas, and because of that, we could have our Bible studies and worship services without the guards coming in. And you know, Betsy did not survive. She died. It's Corey who came out and preached the word of God till the day she died, living out of a suitcase. She didn't have a home. She traveled around the world and even preached, if I'm right, in St. George's or one of these churches in Hyderabad. Corey Ten Boom came. She died. St. George's? Which? Methodist Church. She came and she preached here. And she died when she was 90 years old. Finally, she couldn't go alone. She had a lady accompanying her, but she lived off a suitcase of clothes, all that she had, preaching from place to place about this goodness of God, and she was grateful, though she lost her entire family in the concentration camp. She had learned that salvation is enough to be grateful. You don't need anything else. And God is looking for people who are grateful.
Amen.
Now you know, kids, why you are getting baptized on Tuesday? You're getting baptized because we are grateful, oh God. I want to identify with you. I don't care what else people say, what is happening around. I am grateful to you for what you have done for me. You allowed your visage to be marred, made it into a pulp beyond recognition so that I could be your child. That's what God is looking at. That's why the one man came back and fell at Jesus' feet and worshipped him. The cripple came back to the temple. He didn't know who had healed him, but he knew, I need to go back and worship God. I need to go back and worship God. And that's what God is asking us today. Are we grateful people? Are we grateful people? Or are we only people who go to God with a list of demands, of a shopping list, as we call it? When you make God, go approach God with our shopping list, you also make him the manager of the store, not the God of your life. And some of the products he hands to you, you don't like it and you put it away and you walk away from his presence. But he's God. We come to you because of who he is. His heart is full of mercy and compassion for us. But the truth again is, 9 out of 10 will go their way. One will come back. And I want each one sitting here to be that one that comes back to the house of God to worship. Next Sunday, you walk through this week singing, praising God, thanking God for what you have and what you don't have. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. That's what God is asking us. You have so much reason to be grateful to God. I have loved you with an everlasting love. Amen. Shall we stand up, church? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you, we praise you, God. You have never left us nor forsaken us. That's the truth, O God. Your word is forever truth. You will never leave us nor forsake us. You have never forsaken or left us. We have. We have gone away from you with our complaints, with our grumbling, with our bitterness and our anger when things did not go our way, O God. But today we want to come back home in repentance, O God, saying, Father, we are sorry. We are sorry, O God. We want to go back to your word and to believe, O God, believe you're such a compassionate, merciful God. Jonah declared even in his anger, I knew you were this compassionate God. Oh Father, we want to come before you with thanksgiving, always thanking your Father for who you are. For you have saved us from eternal damnation, O God. You put the weight of my sin upon your Son. You broke him, his body for my sake. Replace me with him on the cross so that I could be free to worship you. But I cannot worship because somebody said it, O God. I have to worship on my own. I can go my way or come back to you and fall at your feet and say, Lord, I worship you. And that's what the Lord is telling today to so many here. You can either go your way, I will still heal you. Or you can come back and worship me. God, we are coming back. All those who went their way is coming back, O God, coming back. Coming back, oh God. You were not abused. Most of us here were not abused. You had everything, father, mother, home, everything. Father, we have so many reasons, oh God, to thank you. More than anything, we want to thank you for Christ Jesus. We come to you, Lord, and we want to thank you, Father. Father, we pray, let not anyone, me myself, and our unbelief, steal that song from our hearts. A good God. Because nothing can pluck us from the Father's hand. Our eternity is secure, sealed with the blood of Jesus, sealed by the Spirit of God. We just want to worship you and take that love and that compassion and mercy into the lives of others. And to be like Betsy in that concentration camp, thank you even for the fleas. Even knowing we may never come out of that camp alive, still we have reason to thank you. Thank you, Father, thank you. Thank you for the cloud of witnesses that have gone ahead of us. Let our faith be strengthened by their testimonies. Thank you, Father. As we go into another week, I pray, Father, your children will learn. Each one of us, starting with me, will thank you for everything. Then come back with a heart full of worship, heart full of songs, heart full of gratitude, back to your house on Sunday, if you dare to come. Thank you, Father. We praise you, we worship you, God. For in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with each one of us. Amen.
For all our sermons and Bible study messages, please visit us online at www.gracetabernaclehyde.org. I repeat, www.gracetabernaclehyde.org.